Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13. The Bible is very loves to explain itself. Whenever we have a question, the Bible has an answer. And sometimes when we have a question, what is biblical love? Well, the Bible has an answer. Of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the chapters that everyone needs to know. It talks about love. It talks about charity. It's something you could run to go ahead and see, get a description, look at what biblical love is truly like. And as we find ourselves in the way of the in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13, if you don't mind, I want you to notice with me starting at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this: Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become like sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then to face. But now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and notice with me in verse number 11. Notice in verse number 11, the last phrase, I put away childish things. I put away childish things. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you now, we're just asking that you would give us much wisdom and much discernment, that you would define and describe to yourself what true love is like, and that we would have an understanding of it, that we would understand this principle that you're getting across here, and that we would grow closer to you, and both our love towards you and our behavior towards you because of what we learn here tonight. Thank you so much for the love that you had for us, that you loved us so much that you died for us. You proved your love towards us. I'm asking that again, that we would truly be able to understand tonight what true love is like, and that it would change our behavior because of our belief. Again, this is all supernatural work that I'm asking for. It is something that I cannot do with my tongue. I cannot do it with my words, and I cannot do it with my thoughts. So I give them all to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit, and that you would get your work accomplished and change lives tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse number 11, it says an interesting phrase, but when I became a man. When I became a man. You know, it's very interesting to ask that question. When do you become a man? When do you become a grown-up? When do you become an adult? When is it that you have to have an adult-type mindset? What is it that makes the change? Well, we know in different cultures around the world, they have different coming-of-age ceremonies. They have different place things that come to that each people have to do within that tribe, within that culture, to prove that they're a man, to prove that they're an adult. And as I tried to do some studies, I came to some very interesting cultures. For example, the Vanuatu is an island in the South Pacific. And there's a specific tribe in the Vanuatu that do a special thing to prove that you're a man. They have a 98-foot tall tower. And to prove that you're a man inside of the tribe, you have to go pick your own vine. And you have to measure it well, because what you have to do is that you have to bungee jump with the vine that you picked. And you have to measure it out just right. And the Vanuatu tribe, they let the man pick the young boy who's going to become a man, measure out his vine. They cut it up. They tie it to the tower. They tie it to his ankles just like a bungee cord. The difference is the bungee cord does not have a bounce to it. And so you fall. And the Vanuatu tribe, in order to prove that you're a man, you pick your vine, you tie it to your legs, tie it, and you jump. And you're a man. When it falls, you are able to get it to touch your shoulders. Go all the way to the ground, and it stops you just so it touches your shoulders. If you come up short, you're not man enough. Got to try it again some other time. Or if you make the vine too long, well, they believe that they're going to have good crops that year. That's their coming-of-age story. How would you like to try that? To prove that you're a man, go through that ceremony. There's another ceremony in Ethiopia that's called the Hamer cow jumping. That what happens is that when a young man thinks that he's ready to become married, what he has to do is to prove that he's worthy to be married, to prove that he's a man, he gets his want-to-be bride, the girl he wants to marry, and they bring her out to the ceremony. And so she watches you the whole time. And what he has to do is they take a cow, a full-grown cow, and in front of her, he has to jump over the cow. Then he has to jump over again, and jump over again, and jump over again. If he fails to jump over the cow, he does not get the wife, and he is not a man. How would you like to do that to get your wife? There's a tribe in Brazil, in the Brazilian Amazon. It's called the Bullet and Ant Initiation. And what they do is that they go and hunt for these bullet ants, which is at least an inch long. They're long ants, big long pincers and big stingers. And what they do is the elder of the tribe that goes along with them uses this very special herb that paralyzes these ants. Then what they do is they gather up all these ants and they knit the ants into a glove with all the stingers sticking in. To prove that you're a man, you put your hand in the glove. And after an hour, the ants will wake up and they'll begin to sting you. And as soon as they begin to sting you, you have to keep your hand in the glove for 10 minutes. And during that time, the venom and the poison is so fierce that it will make your hand puff up, it'll turn it black, and it will make it numb for 24 hours. And to prove that you're a man, as they're stinging you, you can't cry, you can't moan, and you can't complain. And you have to do that ceremony 20 times without complaining, or you're not a man. So what is it that the Bible says when you become a man? When is it that the Bible says that you have to grow up? Is there a special ceremony? Is it a certain age? Is it sweet 16 like they have in America? Woohoo, I'm 16, I'm a grown up. When is it that you are grown up according to the Bible? When is it that you become a man? When is it that you get to the place where you are considered an adult and not a child? Well, the answer is found within the Bible. Now, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. In almost every verse, it speaks of charity. It speaks of this special Bible love. And in verse number 11, this verse seems to be odd and out of place. Notice with me verse 11 again. So it talks about charity, talks about charity, talks about charity. And then verse number 11, in the midst of this, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse number 11 says, how does this fit in here? Well, how does this work? We were talking about charity, and now we're talking about child. How does this work? Well, what happens in verse 11? It's actually the key to this chapter. Notice what it says in verse 11. But when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So verse 11, it speaks about a child. What does a child do? What is a child's characteristics? Notice it, this, when I was a child, I spake as a child. How does a child speak? I understood as a child. How does a child understand? How I thought as a child. How does a child think? Well, if you don't mind, may I kind of walk through something just using your divine imaginations that you could kind of relate? What does it mean to be a child? Well, amazing thing happens is that after 9 months in the womb, you come out. Congratulations. And everyone throws a party. They get gifts. They bring all kinds of things to your house. And you're not even conscious of it. That people take care of you hand and foot. They change your diaper. They feed you when you cry. They change you when you're wet. They do all of this stuff. And you have to do nothing. It's all about you. And then you grow up. You begin to walk. You begin to color. And they send you to a place called school. And during kindergarten time, you have to pass nap time, and that's pretty good. And you have to play with blocks and learn your ABCs. And at the end of kindergarten, after doing all that work, they throw a party for you and you graduate because you took naps very well. As time goes on, they send you to more school, and nap time is no longer an option. You just have to try to stay awake during class, and the teachers go, mwah, 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 and you show up and have to attend and be there. And after 12 years of that, they throw a party for you. And everyone comes and gives gifts, and they have another graduation, and everyone's there congratulating you because you survived school because you happened to attend there. And then it goes on more, that some people will go off and they'll go to college. And they'll take some tests and they'll pass some tests. And at the end of the college, however long it takes someone, they throw another party for you. And it's all about you. And people congratulate you and they give you gifts just because you passed some tests. It's doing pretty good. Then one day, you're going to get married. And when you get married, everyone comes from around the world to come and watch you. And they give gifts, and they give you so many gifts, it fills up a room. And it's all about you. How does a child speak? How does a child understand? How does a child think? It's all about you. That's what a child thinks about. A child doesn't care about someone else. My cookie. And that's the teenager. They think all about themselves. They think about their pleasure. They don't think about consequences of anybody else. They don't think about responsibility or how their actions affect someone else. It's all about them. If I don't want to go to work, I don't go to work. If I want to play video games all day, I want to play video games. It's all about them. It's what feels good to me. Everyone should look at me. Everyone should appreciate me. Everyone should pat me on the back. It's me. Me, me. That's how a child thinks. That's how a child speaks. When they speak as a child because it's all about them. They think as a child because it's all about them. They understand as a child because it's all about them. When something happens to someone else, they only think about themselves. When something good happens to someone, it's all about them. When something bad happens to them, oh, how it affects me. Everything in life is filtered to the idea, as a child, how does it affect me? How does it affect me? I don't care how it hurts you. It's going to hurt me. Someone broke their leg. Oh, how inconvenient it is to me. It's all about me. That's how a child thinks. Notice in verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I stopped speaking as a child. I stopped understanding as a child. I stopped thinking as a child. I stopped coming to the place where it was all about me. And thus, we have the key that unlocks what charity is. What is charity? What is this Bible word love that's put in as charity? What is this? Well, let's define our terms. Charity is a commitment that I make that cost me something with no hope of return. Charity is a commitment that I make that cost me something with no promise of return. It's a commitment. Biblical charity, biblical love, is not a feeling. It is not the fuzzies. By the way, Hollywood has no clue what true love is. It's based off of a feeling. It's based off of fuzzies. And by the way, I like the fuzzies. I'm thankful for the fuzzies, but that's not what love is. Love is a commitment that it is not about me, that I am going to take care of someone else, even if it cost me something, even if it's inconvenient to me, even if it's something where I don't get anything back. When I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became a man, I make a commitment to love someone else, to take care of someone else, even if I don't get anything back in return. That's what charity is. May I give an example? There was one day that I stood at an old-fashioned altar, and I looked deep into my fiancé's eyes, and the minister said, "Wilt thou?" And I wilted, and he said to her, "Do you wilt?" And she does, and we got married. And the day that I got married, I made a commitment to my wife that I would love her. Now, this isn't a feeling love. It's not something that I'll love you some days and some days I won't love you. I made a commitment to her that I would take care of her, that I would fulfill her needs, that I would give her everything that she needs at the cost of myself, even if she never gave me anything back. That's what love is. That's the love that Jesus had for us. For God commendeth his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what God did? God said, "I love you." And to prove it, he died on the cross to purchase me. To purchase me! Did he get a good return to give his Son and he got me? That's a bad return. There's no way I could fulfill that price. There's no way he could ever get full price out of me. Let me tell you, I'm a pastor of a church, but I still fail God. There's no way I've lived up to my potential. But he loved me, even though it cost him something, with no hope of the return. That's the love that Christ had for us. That's the love that we are to have for others. That when we say, "I love you," that means that I'm willing to take care of you, to help you in your need, even if I don't get anything back from you. You see, people understand the phileo love, the reactive love. There are some people that's easy to love. I love them because they're going to take care of me. They're going to give me something back. I'm going to be nice to them because they hook me up. It's easy to love those people. It's hard to love those people that hate you. But you love your enemies anyways. What does it mean to love your enemies? It means to take care of them at the cost of yourself with no hope of return. You're to love your enemies. Those people that you think really hate you, you're supposed to try to be a blessing to them with no hope of return. You know, some people have this phileo love, this reactive love, even to God. Yeah, if I put a dollar in the offering plate, God will give me 10 back. That's the wrong motive. I'm giving it to the Lord because I love him with no hope of return. If he doesn't give it back, I will still give it. You understand, that's the idea of love. When I say I love someone else, that means I'm not thinking of myself. I'm saying it may cost me something. It may be inconvenient to me, but I'm willing to do it because I love them. That's what the Bible talks about love. If you don't mind, now that we have the key that unlocks it, that we understand that charity is an adult love. It is not a childish love. It's not a love that says, it's me, it's me, it's me. What do I get out of this? In fact, it's a love that says, I may never get my return. I may never get anything back out of this. Notice with me, starting at verse number 1. And let's understand this charity now. Notice with me in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. Do you know that some people are naturally gifted of God? Some are supernaturally gifted of God. But you understand that's not necessarily a trait that you're an adult. Aren't there some people who work in ministry or say they're in ministry that are selfish and it's all about them? So Paul is saying here, hey, I could be the greatest orator. I could be the greatest preacher. I could do all these miracles. But if I don't love other people, if it's just all about me, then it's nothing. It's nothing. Notice verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand the mysteries and all knowledge. Here he says, you know what? I can know everything in the world. But you know, intelligence doesn't mean you're an adult. You could be the smartest person in the world and still be selfish as all get out. It could be all about you, all about you, all about you. If you don't have charity, if you don't have love for anyone else, it's nothing. Verse number 2 again. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, there's some people that have a lot of faith. But it's because they say, God, take care of me, take care of me, take care of me, take care of me. God, I know he can take care of me, but it's all about me. And it's not love for others. It's not faith for others. It's not knowledge for others. Notice in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, there's a lot of people who are givers naturally, but they could give with the purpose of making themselves feel good. I'll give lots of money because it makes me feel good. We have lots of people like that. They're glad to give because it helps them out, makes them feel good, looks good on the taxes. They give, I give to missions. Everyone see, I put my $10 in. It's all about them. It's all about them. You understand? Motive is a big deal. There's a lot of things we do in life because it's all about me. But true love, true Bible love, is loving others even if you don't get anything back from them. Notice as the Bible now takes this list and verse number 4. And when it says charity, you could actually replace your name in there if you want to see how you're doing towards someone. Maybe it's the person you really hate. You look at them and you just know they hate you. How is your love towards them? Notice this. Charity suffereth long. You could say, I suffereth long. What does suffering long means? It means you are long suffering. You suffer long with them. When they fail and they mess up and they hurt you and they hurt you and they hurt you, if you love them, you will suffer long with them. Not be impatient with them and say, ah, forget you. You're done. I've had enough. Amen. Love is long-suffering. Now again, this is not a natural love. This is not what we have naturally. This comes as we're dead to self and depending on God, because only God has this type of love. This is not natural. But God can give us this love when we're dead to self and it's not about me. Charity suffereth long. Notice this. And is kind. You could say, I am kind. And then you could even put the direct object, I am kind towards my wife. Is that true? Are you kind to your wife? Are you kind? Are you nice to her? Do you do things for her? Are you gentle with her? Well, if you're not, you don't have charity for her. Notice as it goes on. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Oh, you want to know a Christian's crime is this. This shows we don't have love. When something good happens to someone else, and that old green-eyed monster comes up, it's all about me. They won the lottery. How come I can't win the lottery? They got a good car. How come I can't get a good car? They got a better house. How come I can't get a better... They can't enjoy the good things that happen to someone else. That's because they're selfish. It's a lack of charity. It's that they're still thinking and understanding as a child. By the way, this is us, all of us. This is our natural thing. When we're in the flesh, this is where it's at. This is our natural state, is that we do envy. We do not like it when something good happens to someone and it didn't happen to us. And if you want to be specific, charity envieth, and then name the person that you're supposed to love and see if that's true. If something good happens to your enemy, are you happy about it or are you upset about it? Notice as it goes on. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, but is not puffed up. Here's the idea of puffed up. If your charity, if you truly love someone, you're not rubbing in your face how great you are. I know everyone bask in my glory. Hey, quick, someone touch me. Ah, yes. You know, are you the type of person that you're always thinking you're the greatest? Look at me, because it's all about me. And then you're upset? They didn't acknowledge how great I am. They didn't acknowledge my great vacuuming skills. No one said for a while how great I washed the windows. People get that away because it's all about them. They think as a child. They understand as a child. They don't love. You know, if you're doing it for the Lord, does it matter that anyone else ever notices? Not at all. Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for applause? I sang this song and no one said I did a good job. Who are you doing it for? If you teach a Sunday school lesson and everyone else grumbles from it, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the Lord? You see, this even comes to the idea of loving the Lord. Do you love the Lord so much that he's the only one that matters? And it's not puffed up. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. So here, charity, I do not behave myself unseemly towards, put the direct object, towards my wife. Someone will come to me in counseling and say, hey, let me tell you, I punched a hole through the wall, but I'm lucky that I didn't punch her. See, I controlled myself. No, that's unseemly. Well, the idea of unseemly carries the idea of broadcasting. It's like slamming doors. That's behaving yourself unseemly. That shows a lack of love towards a person. Because it's all about you. You're the one that's hurt. What about them? Aren't they hurting? And you have to take it out on them. This has the idea of throwing dishes in there. Having a fit. It's all about me. I'm upset and I want everyone to know how upset I am. And so everyone could just come by and say, it's all right. That's the idea of selfishness. The idea it's all about me. Think as a child. But love, charity, doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. It means you're not looking how to get advantage. Sure, I'll go ahead and give money here because it's going to come back to me. Sure, I'll be nice to that person because that person is going to be in a position to help me out later on. That carries the idea that it's not seeking out their own. There are some people who are only nice to people because it's to their advantage. If we have the charity, we'll help people out even if they'll never help us. You see, this is where it comes to the idea that if we had a person come into church that didn't have any food, had bad clothing, how would we treat them? Would we take care of them knowing that they're not going to come back to church, knowing that they're going to go away? Well, if we have the ability to help them, we should. If we don't have the ability to help them, then we got to be honest. But you understand what I'm talking about? If you have the ability to help someone else, and you should, you should. Not just because they're going to help you out later on, but even if you don't get anything back from it. If you love them, it says, charity is not easily provoked. There's one to put your name. I am not easily provoked towards the person you're supposed to love. Now, what is this idea of provoke? It means to keep poking the bear. Poke, 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 poke. Stop it! Right? Not easily provoked. How easy it is for you to provoke or to be provoked when someone, just hearing their voice is enough to aggravate you. Not easily provoked. Charity is not easily provoked. Then put someone in the direct object. I am not easily provoked towards so-and-so. You'll get to see where your charity is concerning that person. Notice this. Thinketh no evil. There are sometimes people have disappointed us so much that we just automatically assume they're going to fail. If we truly love them, we should be expecting them to succeed, praying for them to succeed, wanting them to succeed. That in our minds, we're praying for them, we're cheering for them. They're going to get there one day. Now again, this is hard because our flesh gets in the way. When people have failed us so many times, we just expect them to fail some more. But the Bible says it thinketh no evil. Verse number 6, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. The idea of that we're not excited, glad to hear that someone fell into sin. You know, I know some preachers, and I was in a place where that could have been said, that if they heard the news that the preacher fell, the whole city would be celebration and said, "See, I told you." They're just waiting. They're anticipating it. Here, rejoiceth not iniquity. We should never rejoice when someone falls in sin. We should be brokenhearted. We shouldn't say, "See, I knew they were going to do that." We shouldn't be celebrating. It should always be brokenheartedness if we love them. But rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things. It means you're able to bear the weight, bear whatever it is, to bear the burden of taking care of them. I've had a preacher that I knew about whose wife legitimately went crazy. I mean, her mind snapped, and she was doing, it was a mental health type thing, and she was doing some of the craziest things. I mean, even in church, she couldn't control herself, and blah! People would look at her, and people say, "Preacher," and he was a preacher, he had a quit the pulpit because of his wife. But people are like, "What are you going to do with your wife? I mean, she's holding you back." He says, "I'm going to take her home and I'm going to love on her. And don't ask me any more questions." But he said, "I'm committed to take care of her. Even if she's lost her mind. Even if she can no longer do me any good. Even if she's at the place where she could do nothing for me. Even if it's all my resources to take care of her and nothing back. I made a commitment that I'm going to take care of her." You know, in a marriage, women need to know that you're going to take care of them no matter what. That's the idea of charity. That's the idea of unselfishness. And when people get selfish, that's where I'm tired of taking care of her. I'm tired of taking care of them. Now, we're not talking about freeloading now. It's a whole different subject. But we're talking about the idea that you love someone not to try to get something back from them. Here it goes on. Charity never faileth. That means it doesn't stop. You know, one of the craziest things you'll ever hear is someone saying, "I'm in love with you, I'm out of love with you. I'm in love with you and out of love with you." Remember, charity is not a feeling. It is a commitment. Now, if I get the warm fuzzies, praise the Lord. But even if I don't have the warm fuzzies, I made a commitment before the Lord to take care of this person, to watch over them, to make sure that their needs are met, to make sure that they got what they need. And it goes on. And it describes this idea of charity. And then it goes back to the verses that we were at. That when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I understood as a child. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So we asked a question at the very beginning. When is it that you become a man? When is it that you become an adult? Is it when you could successfully jump over a cow 4 times and get married? When do you become a man? Is it when you could bungee jump and not kill yourself in the process? When do you become a man? Is it when you get all these ants to try to bite you and see if your arm can be numb and do it 20 times? When do you become a man? Do you become a man when you become 16? Are you an adult when you become 21? Are you an adult when you get married? Are you an adult when you get 25? When is it that you become an adult? We know that there's people who are 50 years old and has not grown up. And we're not talking about having a childlike, playful mind. We're talking about that they're still selfish. They could be married and still it's all about them. They could be married and have kids and everything revolves around them. The idea that you become a man when you become grown up is when you take responsibility of someone else and say, I've committed to take care of them, even at the cost of myself. You say, I'm single. Well, praise the Lord. You could say, I'm pledging myself to the Lord that I'm going to love the Lord and I'm going to serve Him at the cost of myself. Even if He never gives me anything ever again, I'm committing to serve Him. When is it that you become a man? Now again, we live in a society that promotes selfishness, promotes childlike behavior. And we get to the place where we have senators and congresspeople who are not grown up. We have people who are in politics, people who are in positions of authority, people at work that haven't grown up. And so we're not saying that there's an age limit. We are saying for you, are you going to grow up? Are you going to set aside and say, you know what? I'm going to love someone else. I'm going to love the Lord. Even if I don't get anything back, I'm committing myself to serve Him. Maybe you need to look at your life and say, how selfish have I been? Is my life all about me or is my life about others? When I go to my day-to-day thing, is it all how it affects me, how it messes with me, how it affects me? And everyone you come across and every story that they have, it's all about me, all about me. Basically, we're asking you this. Have you come to the place where you've grown up yet? Again, people are at different levels. It's up to you to determine, you to discern for the Lord, have I become a man? Have I become grown up? Do I have this charity to others? Maybe there's someone that you're having an issue with. Maybe someone you consider your enemy. The Bible says to love your enemies. How is your charity towards them? How is your love towards them? Are you trying to take care of them even at the cost of yourself? Even if they do never do anything nice for you. Do you love your enemy? Do you love them? Do you love your brother? Do you love your neighbor? What is your state? Do you think as a child? Do you understand as a child? Do you speak as a child? Or have you become a man? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.